You're listening to In Shane in the Membrane. Here's your host, Shane Thompson.
It does look great. Hello, and welcome to the In Shane in the Membrane podcast. I need to stay close to the mic. It's my first time. Sorry. I'm your host, Shane Thompson, and with me, as somewhat always, Jason S.
Hi, happy to be here.
You look great. That shirt looks way better. It's not as cold in here today, so you don't have to sport the Pierre Cardin.
It looks way cooler on the stream for those watching on Spotify than it does in person.
It looks like a starry night or something.
It does.
I'm very impressed with it.
Brand new shirt.
You look great.
My friend Mike gave me this shirt.
Oh, shout out.
Mike H.
He gave you a shirt and a car?
He gives me lots of stuff.
Yeah, I need a friend like this, Mike. Speaking of friends named Mike, my friend Mike Cotton, I'm saying his full name.
Oh, my gosh. Shout out.
Because he's an old-time friend forever, and he's doing voiceover, and I'm gonna try to put it in. It's like if I succeed, I sound kind of silly right now talking about I'm going to try to put it in.
Yeah.
But he's going to do our intro and outro, and he did that for free.
Nice.
Thanks, Mike.
Oh, I love free
and
stuff.
And let me tell you something. He's going to be a superstar in this field, because I think I've said it on the podcast once before. But when we were in high school, we went to NYC when it was in Orlando, and our youth group, there were like maybe 10 of us or something. Then we went, of course, we had money. So then we went to Walt Disney World.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's great. And we went to MGM Studios at the time. It's Hollywood Studios now, but it was MGM. That's right when it opened. Anyway, we went to the sound effects show. You're making sound effects, and it's in a big theater. But then when you come out, there's these little video machines, think of a stand-up video game.
Sure.
And it plays a clip of a cartoon, and then you get to record over the voice for it.
Yeah.
Mike and I somehow got together on a machine, and it was magic. I could not stop laughing. We did such a great job on these voices that it was just. It was one of the funniest things I've ever done in my entire life. And mainly it was him. It was like 95% him, 5% me. I'll give him that much credit. I remember it to this day because I thought, how do we get these clips? You know, this is back before, you know, you had cell phones.
Yeah, what year would this have been? For NASA?
1991.
Okay. Yeah.
Stephen Curtis Chapman, saddle up your horses, baby.
Oh, man.
That's great. We're all jumping. It's great. Anyway, I knew from that day, I'm like, this guy. He's going to be famous, you know, and it didn't happen because, you know, as so many people do, they give up on their dreams, right? Because they got to make money. Yeah. I get it. So anyway, I wanted to be a male model. I gave up on that. It's like, I got to make money. So why are you laughing?
Because we all give up on our dreams, I guess. It sounds to me like your friend, Mike Cotton, full name.
Yeah.
Is looking back into going towards history.
It's more like a sad story when I say I gave up on male modeling and you laughed. And I don't, I'm confused by that. Wow. Hang on, I gotta text a few people. I'm looking for a new co-host. Hang on a second.
You too can, like Mike Cotton, go back to your dreams.
You can. It's never too late.
Yeah.
I often tell people, I'm like, I still don't know what I'm gonna be when I grow up.
So what is Mike Cotton? Is he doing podcast voiceovers?
He's gonna start doing more of that. I think he's like trying now to rekindle that dream and get back into it. Yeah, I know. It's pretty great.
It's one of my favorite questions I like to ask people is if you weren't in your current career,
right?
What else would you potentially like to do? If you could live multiple timelines.
Yes.
Sounds like male model is one of your timelines for sure.
Absolutely.
You're the host here, but how many other, if you could have multiple timelines, give me two or three, four or five careers that you would like to have tried.
I've already said this, and engineering engineering mind, yeah, but I had no idea. I was directionless, you know, that type of thing.
Sure.
That's mainly it. But anything, I like working with my hands or modeling my hands, like George Costanza. I could have been an excellent hand model. Maybe a little too much hair on my knuckles and my palm, a little too much. I could shave, though. You know, you can fix that with shaving or bleaching. I could bleach those hairs so they're really not noticeable. But I could be a hand model or working with my hands. Like, I love working on cars and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so working with my hands instead of just typing, you know, that usually makes more money. But now working with your hands, not typing, is starting to make more money. So maybe I'm going to flip. Maybe I'll flip. I don't know. We'll see. You?
Oh, man. Multiple timelines.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm a helper.
Yeah, you are?
I feel like I'm a gifted helper.
Okay.
But I also, when I think about other things I could have done, I think caddy, being a caddy on a golf course
would be
super fun. But a lot of people who work in golf don't golf because they give their life to the sport. And then like when it's your time off, you don't want to go back to the golf course.
I get it. Sure.
So I think caddy would have been a really fun experience. I think golf coach would have been a really fun experience.
Okay.
I think I've always thought that it'd be fun to be a mailman. I just think that it would be super great.
Kind of extremes here.
I also always feel like it would have been great to work at 7-Eleven.
Wow.
So
those dreams are very attainable.
Yes.
And then it's not too late on those too.
No.
So.
And so I would love to experience a multitude of jobs.
Me too. Me too.
As much as I like the one job I've only had since I was in college.
Yeah.
And feel like,
but let me
call to that position.
I
feel like it'd be super fun to do lots of different.
Okay,
stuff.
You're right. You're right. I grant you that. But let me. I'm going to break something to you, and I'm going to help you out.
Okay.
You're welcome, in advance. You have a fantasy camp life, as I've already said. So anything you think, sometimes you think, oh, it'd be fun to do this or try this or whatever. I say nay.
Correct.
To that, because I guarantee you would do it. And you'd be like, oh, I don't have the time to do the other fun stuff that I was already doing.
Yes.
So your life is already perfect. So stop.
Okay. No, no, yeah.
Stop.
I will.
All the other alternate Jasons that are out there working the mailman beat, they're jealous of you, buddy. They're like, God, I got to know how good he has it. Yeah, if I could just switch places with them and I could see a whole movie coming out of this.
That's great. Reminds me of one of my favorite novels in the last 5 years, Midnight Library. This is a recommendation for the podcast listeners.
Okay.
A Midnight Library.
Okay.
I think you would. I know you're not much of a reader. You're more of a watch your shows on the TV screen.
Can read if that's what you're insinuating.
You know what? No. I think that within 5 years, this book will be a movie, and you should watch it.
No. I'm gonna read the book. How many pages is it?
Probably. Let me say 320. Just a guess.
Anything less than 400, I can read.
Okay.
But when it says over 400, I'm like, I'm out.
You can also just listen to books.
War and Peace or Peace and War or what's the name of that movie, the book?
War and Peace.
It's like a million pages?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm out. Man. I'm not even going to start.
I have tried to read The Brothers Karamazov twice.
Okay.
Over the last 10 years.
How long is it?
I think it's around 1,200 pages.
Oh, no. 1,200 pages?
I've tried twice. And I have gotten over 100 pages both times. And both times I've said, I just can't do it. And I feel like it is a flaw in me that I can't finish this book because there's many theologians that feel like this book has something to say.
Okay.
And I feel like I should read it.
No,
but
no.
I've given up on that dream.
You should. You should. Oh, 1,000 pages. Forget that.
I'm going to look at how many pages.
My father-in-law, Roger.
Oh, shout out.
Gave me Atlas Shrugged. You know that book?
Yeah.
That's actually the character's name, which is really weird. And it's written by a woman, and it was way back when. And I know it's a great book. It's, critically acclaimed, all that, blah, blah, blah. It's like 500 pages of little text, and I'm like, I'm sorry. It's over my 400 count. And especially if it's like an under 400 large print, I'm like, I'm in. I'm in on that. But otherwise, I'm out. I need to do more Audible, but whatever. All right, Midnight Library.
Midnight Library.
I'm going to check it out. Thank you for that recommendation. Okay, enough of this. Enough of this.
What a fun start to the pod.
I have a confession to make.
Okay.
And people may think less of me when I make this confession. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I'm almost to the point where I just have stopped caring about what other people think about me. I'm almost there. I'm not there yet. I'm working on it.
Okay.
I'm dressing worse. I'm doing my hair less. I'm spending less time on my hair. I'm not shaving as often. So I'm thinking, life is easier when you just don't care about what other people think about you, right?
I don't know. I kind of care, so I
know. But, I know. Well, I'm gonna be a trendsetter here.
I'm gonna look forward to what the rest of your.
You're welcome.
This monologue is.
When I meet clients,
dying,
though, I gotta look
to know
a little
about
better.
Your haircut experience. But let's keep going.
I need to get my hair cut, but I don't want to talk about that right now.
I know.
I'm so stressed, and I don't know what to do. It's okay. It's okay. All right, here's the confession, full confession time. I do not wash my hands after I go number one. Ever. Do you wash your hands every time you go number one?
Every time. I wash my hands. I know.
What if you're in the woods and you're camping and you go number one?
No, well, then no, not every time.
Okay, then not every time.
Not every time. I would say a large percentage of the time, I am a hand washer.
When you're out and camping, and is it just dangerous then, and you're probably going to get sick from that experience?
No, but I do care what people think about me. And so
okay,
part of it would be a peer pressure-ish
okay.
sort of, you're at a Thunder game.
Yes.
And you okay. see 50% to 70%.
Do you judge people when they go number one and you know they didn't wash their hands and they just walk out that door?
I don't think I judge people because I think that over the course of my life, I've watched probably 50%
do
of
you
people
notice?
In public places.
Do you notice it?
Yeah, I do.
So you're judging a little bit in your head.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Okay. I what my point is, and this is just for men. I'm not getting into the differences, okay? But I think we do it more out of peer pressure than anything. I don't know that there's a whole lot of statistical medical proof about that, just number one for men. That's all I'm referring to. And I'm a type of person, I'm never sick, and I take very little precautions. Now, for the record, okay? Close yours if you don't want to hear this. I always wash my hands after number two.
Okay.
Always. That's not a... And I understand the dangers with not on number two specifically. Okay, I get that, right? There's some very, very real concerns there about the likelihood of...
Thank you on behalf of the rest of society.
You're welcome. You're welcome. But I'm trying to not care what people think, so I'm like, I'm not going to wash my hands just out. I'm not going to spend that time and that waste of water and soap on just some stranger of what they might think about me. I'm just not going to do it. So I'm out.
What percentage do you think, according to the internet,
it must be right,
believes that what percentage of men do not scrub their hands in the bathroom after going number one?
What percentage actually do it, or what percentage admit to not doing it? You know, that's the big question there. All right. I'm going to say,
let's say it's an
40%. 40%.
This says 70% of men don't wash after peeing.
That's because we don't need to. Okay. We don't. I mean, urine is a very clean. Some people, you can actually drink urine and not get sick. I mean, that's a fact. Look at Bear Grylls, okay?
Look at who?
Bear Grylls. You don't know her.
Is that a name of a grill?
You don't know who Bear Grylls is. Wow. That's okay. He's
a person.
It's not a grill
like
I didn't present it as anything other than a person's name.
I heard like a Weber Grill.
I understand
look
what
at a
you
Weber,
heard.
Look at a Weber Grill.
That's his name, Bear Grylls.
I see him, yeah.
He is the ultimate outdoorsman.
Okay.
He was in the special forces in like England or something. He's like English or something. I don't know.
Yeah, he's
but he's
English,
like a
yeah.
man's man. And he used to have a show where Wild with Bear Grylls or something like that. And it was just like him solo, just him in nature and like surviving and the different things he would do. And he did some pretty crazy stuff. The craziest thing I ever saw him do. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what to think about it, but the fact that he did it is like, bro, you will do anything to survive. I dig it. He was in Africa,
okay,
and he ran across some animal dung, some elephant dung.
Okay.
It's big, you know,
yeah,
elephants.
Elephants.
It's big. And he said, hey, there's a lot of liquid in this. If you're desperate enough, you get the liquid out of this. So guess what he did?
I'm guessing he found a way to get the liquid out of it, Shane.
He took it in his hands. He wrung it out, and he drank the liquid that came out of it.
And people watch this television show.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, and
he's
I just 49 thought...
years old, born in 74.
Oh, wow. Gen X.
Yeah.
What up, Bear? Wow. He's a man's man. All right? So what I'm saying is, Bear Grylls does stuff like this all the time. He's drank his own urine. He's done whatever you need to survive, the man has done. There was another one where he was camping, you know, he's in the wilderness, and he's in this little rock enclosure,
okay,
and he's got a little fire going, and he's right up against the rock, and he's like, oh, check out my new friend here, so he points the camera, and it is a humongous spider, like like gargantuan tarantula that's right by him. Okay. And he said, this is my friend here, you know, and he's like, I'm going to sleep here, but he's probably going to stay. I'm going to eat him for breakfast. And he slept knowing that that big monster spider was that close to him. I'm like, oh, there's no way in the world. I don't know that I could sleep even knowing that monster exists in the world. First of all, spiders scare me. They fascinate me. They scare me.
Yeah, they terrify me.
And someday I'm going to pick up a wild tarantula. I want to do that someday. Wow. Just to face my fears. But anyway, he did. He slept fine, and then he grabbed it, and he ate it for breakfast. The dude is a man's man. He is the manliest man you'll ever meet. And what I'm saying is, he does stuff like that. I just don't think we have any proof that we men need to wash our hands after going number one. I'm not getting it all over my hands. It's pretty rare. All right. I'm better at aiming than that. All right. For the record, I got a little more dexterity than that. So I just don't understand, frankly, the need. Anyway, I'm sure Katie is going to poke all kinds of holes.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
We'll see.
KDS.
Shout out. I do not ever intend to speak for her.
So. Okay, good. You shouldn't.
Yeah.
You shouldn't. We're not qualified.
She has her own thoughts.
Good. All right. Anywho.
Oh, man, I love it.
Anywho. I'm transitioning completely now.
Great.
Okay. I just wanted to know.
Can I ask a question?
Of course you can.
I mentioned the birth date of Bear Grylls.
Yes.
Being 1974.
Yes.
Don't you have a birthday coming up here? You mentioned your sister's birthday.
It's gone.
Oh, it's coming gone.
Yeah, it's coming gone, buddy. April 16th.
April 16th. So 1 week ago today.
Okay, if you say so.
We recorded on your birthday last week and we didn't even say anything about it?
What do I care? I like to just let my birthday go and just live a normal day. And kind of in my head all day, like, it's my birthday, but I'm not going to tell you.
Huh.
I don't like to bring attention to it.
I love my birthday.
Okay, that's fine. I don't judge people that do. That's why I don't kind of, but everyone, oh, it's your birthday. You got to do something special. Why do I have to do anything special?
Did you eat a special meal or treat yourself to a special time with your car?
A friend of mine was already coming in town. Okay. Sean R.
Came to the airport.
And we went and we bowled. Downtown at that Heyday place. It was way too expensive, and we were the only ones in there for that reason. It was $45 to bowl for 1 hour, which is insane. But then we got a bunch of food.
Yeah.
So that was, and he paid, which was pretty great.
So did you know it was your birthday?
He did.
And he
kind
of treated you for your birthday?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Had a little birthday party.
I guess.
You and Sean R.
Shout out.
Oh, man.
I just don't like bringing attention to it. I just don't.
Who won the bowling match?
He won two games. I won the third game, but there's controversy over that too, so we don't want to talk about that. But he's the winner. He's the winner. He beat me fair and square. He beat me straight up. He beat me. What's that from?
No,
you have no idea.
No idea.
Ken, what's that from?
Let Ken text us.
I know. I won't say.
Let Ken text.
He'll know. Okay. He'll know like that because it's pretty good.
I'm gonna see. Terminator 2.
He beat me straight up. He beat me. What kind of accent am I even trying to do?
I don't know. I'm going to say Russian.
Yes. Yes.
Is it involved in a Rocky movie, maybe?
No. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, Jason. Just totally lost
it. I also think I need to watch a movie that a lot of people quote a lot of times. I tell you one time I watched The Sandlot in the last few years? And
okay.
I was like, that's where all of these phrases that people have been using
You're killing
years.
Me, Smalls.
Yes. That's in the movie.
It is.
That's in Sandlot.
Of course it is.
And I just was like, whoa.
I'm aware.
But multiple lines in that movie were like
cultural
movies.
Yeah.
There's another movie. There's a drink called the White Russian in the movie. It's a bowling movie. There's a big guy. Big Lebowski.
The Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People apparently quote that movie a lot too.
Have you seen it?
I don't think so.
It's a cult movie. Mm-hmm. It's good. I like it.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a cult following to it because it is. It is unique, to say the least. And there are a lot of crazy lines that people quote. But anyway.
Okay. Yeah, that was my anywho right there.
Nice.
A little birthday sidetrack.
I don't care.
No,
it happens every year.
Happy
I don't
birthday.
Care. Well, thanks. Moving on. Thank you. So, did you go to the Thunder game Sunday night?
I did.
I bet you did.
I did.
I watched most of the game. Not all the game, most of the game. I got a problem.
Okay.
You ready?
Sure.
Not once, but twice. That's double one. Two is double one.
Yeah.
Something happened that I was very disappointed in.
Okay. I can't think of something. So, yeah.
Can't?
About the Thunder game.
Mm-hmm.
They only scored 17 points in the first quarter?
No. Nothing about the game.
Oh. I don't know.
We're Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
We're in the Bible Belt. Isn't that right? What is the Bible Belt exactly?
I'm not exactly sure.
Is it go vertically? Like up to Kansas and Nebraska? Because then I'm like, what's the head? Is the head Maine of the United States?
It looks like.
And California is like the legs? Or is it vice versa?
It's mostly the South.
It's just the South.
But it looks like here on the inside.
So like North Dakota's the head?
No, it's like just like Texas, Oklahoma.
No. If we're a belt, then there's the body. Which is the head and which is the tail? Then is North Dakota like the head and Texas is like the legs?
Oh, interesting.
Texas and Florida are the legs?
No, I don't know.
I don't know either. Forget it. We're in the Bible Belt. Not once, but twice. What do we do that we typically don't do, but a lot of other places do?
Oh, they pray. Before the games.
No, a lot of places pray.
No.
Why would I be upset by that?
At Thunder games?
Yes.
Before the national anthem at a Thunder game is an invocation.
I know.
You cannot say the word Jesus, but there's an invocation.
I think a lot of sports places do that.
I would guess that we'll be one of 30 NBA teams.
You're totally wrong about that. Scott! Get in here. Look that up.
How many teams pray before an NBA game? I think it's one.
Why would I be disappointed in that? Come on, Jason. You're going to get this.
No, I'm not. I am not.
I was disappointed in the crowd. I'll be more specific.
Oh, that they sat after the first bucket? And didn't stand for at least the first 5 minutes?
I'm very disappointed in you now, too. I bet you're the one that started it.
Oh, I have no idea.
Disappointed in the crowd.
They started something. They didn't woof enough. After J Dub's first bucket,
it's because you're so desensitized, you didn't even realize that it happened.
There was no wave. We didn't start the wave. I mean, I would have been disappointed in that.
I'm gonna tell you because clearly you didn't register it.
I did not.
You probably started it, and you were just there with the crowd, and so you don't even realize that it was negative because you were just as much
MVP chance for Shay.
Why would I be mad at that?
I don't know.
Disappointed in that.
I don't know.
Not once, but twice.
Okay.
I heard.
Yeah.
In my ears, the refs you suck chant.
Oh, okay. Heard it once.
I heard it twice.
Okay.
How many Thunder games have you been to that you've heard us start that chant? How many times?
I know game 6 of the playoffs when the Thunder came back to beat Chris Paul and the Clippers, there was a ref you suck chant. And that would have been, I don't remember the exact year. I'm going to say 2015.
So you're saying once before?
No, that series against the Clippers, I heard that multiple home games. I think 3 home games.
You've been and seen a lot of Thunder games, correct?
Yeah.
Like what percentage of games do you think you hear that chant at least once during?
Oh, the whole crowd?
Yeah, the full crowd. Not just one person or like a little five guys.
1%.
1%, that's what I'm saying.
Yes, yeah, very.
We don't do it.
Right, we don't do it yet.
Philadelphia, every game, okay? Los Angeles, every game. I'm calling these places out. New York, every game. Because that's kind of the spirit of these people. They're way more aggressive and like quick to.
Sure, Philly, you know, they booed Santa Claus. It's kind of the old. Man,
I just assume everyone is like. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia or whatever. I just assume that's what everybody in Philadelphia is like. That might be wrong. If you're from Philadelphia, let me know if that's not an accurate portrayal of you. But twice they did that. And I cannot tell you how disappointed I was to hear that because it's low class.
Don't like refs you suck.
It's mean.
Mm.
It's unnecessary. Let me walk you through it.
Okay.
Let me walk you through it. First of all, I don't know if the people that go, you went, did you participate in that chant?
Oh, I would never yell ref you suck.
Okay.
Yeah. I we've talked about this on this pod in our little mini season here in the spring.
I know.
I trust referees are doing the best job they can with what they've been given.
I know. I know. We have. Yeah. We have. And I just, we don't do that. And I'm like, okay, that's good. But then we did it. Very loud, very quick. And it was seemed like it was pretty much everyone.
Yeah.
On national TV. Game was nationally televised. That's the only reason I got to watch it, because I don't subscribe to Bally Sports anymore, because that's a ripoff. So, national TV, we're yelling it really loud on a call that was not a big deal. It wasn't a bad call. It wasn't. First of all, people that go to the Thunder game, I assume they have brains. I assume they found their seat, right? You found your seat, so I assume that you have a brain. So the refs, I don't know if they know it. I think they would know it. With the brain, you would know it. That they're people, too. They're not machines out there. We're not that far yet. We're getting there, but we're not there yet.
Not yet.
They're people. They have feelings. In spite of what they put on, they have feelings. And they're paid well. Don't get me wrong. They're paid well. I mean, they're several hundred thousand dollars. They make good money.
Yeah.
So you know they're people. You know they have feelings. Do you really think that it's a conspiracy? Do you really think that they call that because they're against your team or whatever the case is? I think most people would admit, if you got them outside of that moment in time, they'd be like, no, I don't. I think most people would. There's plenty that are idiots, that are conspiracy theorists.
I don't know. I think that the refs are doing the very best they can.
Okay.
But I think a lot of people truly believe that the refs are... that they're playing against the referees too.
You might be right. I don't think you are, but you might be right. I'll concede that you might be right.
You mentioned the conspiracy theory. I think that people have a personal conspiracy in their head.
Okay.
That ref, Tony Brothers in this case, was the head referee of that game.
Okay.
I think people think like, oh, Tony's out to get us. Just like people think that, you know, Chris Paul, there's a particular referee in the NBA who's like out to get Chris Paul.
Right, okay.
Yeah, and I actually believe that.
Oh, my God. Do you really think that refs would keep their job if they had it out for a particular team or a particular player? Do you think they'd keep their job?
His name is Scott Foster. Have you heard of this feud between Scott Foster and Chris Paul?
No.
It is amazing. Chris Paul, no matter what team he was on, lost 13 consecutive playoff games when Scott Foster was the crew chief. He is 3-17 in playoff games dating back to 2008 in games that he played when Scott Foster was the referee.
Okay, okay.
It's awesome. Like, it came to the point where I wanted to know if Foster would be assigned to a Chris Paul game.
Okay, just because something happens frequently when the situation is similar, doesn't mean there's correlation. There's just not. It doesn't mean that at all.
Yeah.
I know statistics. I got an A in statistics. I took statistics in college. So I know statistics, and that does not prove correlation, regardless of what we think. It doesn't. Explain to you what?
Can you explain to me when people say there's causation, not correlation? Can you explain that to the listener base?
Causation, it means you actually cause something to happen. Uh-huh. Your actions cause something to happen. Without your actions, whatever it is would not have happened.
Sure.
That's causation.
Okay.
Correlation means they're related.
Okay.
They're related. Like, I tripped and fell, and then someone else tripped and fell over my shoe or something like that. There's a correlation there, and that's probably not a very good...
So the difference would be Scott Foster causes Chris Paul's team to lose, or Chris Paul's team loses when Scott Foster happens to be the ref that...
Right, and we don't know the reasons for it. There could be a reason of, like, Chris Paul in his head thinks, I lose because he refs, so now he's reffing this game. So there is correlation there a little bit because it's in his head now.
But it's not causation.
No, it's not causation.
Okay.
It's not causation. But
according to...
Yeah. Okay. So here's my point. I think those are the dirt guys. Crud. Getting a bunch of dirt delivered today.
Exciting.
It is. I'm getting a front yard.
Oh, nice. Time. Topsoil?
Yeah. Sandy loam. It's not topsoil. It's even better. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Okay.
Well, sand is the best base for grass to grow because it drains.
It does drain well. It's sand and loam. It's like a sand and... Okay.
You would want to have the base to be sand-based.
Yeah, I played Heffner the other day, and they just sanded the greens, and they were terrible, but I know it's going to be better. Discount? They should, but they don't.
Every course should give a 50% discount the first week after they've been punched. Now, for our listeners who don't play golf, every spring, most every golf course puts little holes in the green and fills them with
they
sand.
They aerate, the greens and it's holes, and they put sand, and then they're terrible to putt on, and the ball's doing all this kind
Plinko.
Of stuff.
They're playing Plinko.
Yeah, they're playing Plinko.
I like
that. So me and the other guys were complaining about it, and then I said the same thing, but then at the same time I'm like, their first open tee time wasn't until after 5 o'clock, so it's supply and demand. They didn't need a discount because there's still a bunch of people playing.
Did they tell you before the round?
No.
When you called to get the tee time?
I didn't call to get tee time. I just showed up.
Oh, okay. Well, I think that they should be.
And then they, made fun of me, like, oh, you think you're just going to walk on a Sunday? I'm like, that's what I do. And I played in about 20 minutes after we got there. It wasn't that big of a deal. Anyway. All right. Listen, that's enough about that. Okay. So.
Here's my point.
Yes, thank you. It's low class. It is absolutely low class. And it is a mob mentality, and I understand that. Like, first of all, it was a tense game.
Mm-hmm.
We did not play well in the beginning. We missed a lot of shots.
Yes.
We played tight. It was tense because it's like, oh boy, none of the other games were close.
Okay? None of them were close.
The Celtics, the other 1-8, the Celtics just destroyed them. It was not even a contest. Okay. And here we are, the 1-8, and we're struggling, and the Pelicans are up, and we're up, and we're up. And they showed, like, on SportsCenter, the number of ties and changes in ties was more than all the other games combined, which was pretty hilarious. I'm like, okay, one was entertaining. Now, did you watch the Lakers and Denver game last night?
Yes, I did.
Holy cow. That was very close, and the ending was just like, okay, that's pretty much storybook ending. That's pretty great. That's the type of game you want to be there in person for.
Yeah.
Never been in person for that type of game, but someday. Denver folks got a treat in that one. Anyway, so it is so – I get it. Once again, it's the mom mentality. You're tense. Your team's losing, and they shouldn't be losing, and you're uptight, and you're like, oh, you're on edge, and then you're frustrated, you're just building, and then a call goes against you, mm-hmm. even when it's fair, and then it wasn't like – it wasn't like there were a lot of time. Man, the chant started like that. It was fast, and it was loud. And I'm like, we don't do this. And I honestly was like, I may turn it off. I may turn it off.
I was that upset.
Oh, I was very upset by it. Because it makes us look so low class. It's low class. I bet most of the people that go to these games claim to be Christian. I bet they do. I bet a large percentage do. And you're insulting this person in a public forum. Think about what you're doing. They're there doing your job, and you're insulting them in a public forum for doing their job. They did it to the best of their ability. In spite of what you're probably going to think about them or certainly say about them, they still did their job.
Yeah, they did. You're preaching to the choir.
But people don't they don't even think about that. They don't think about them being another human being. They just think, this is unfair. Our team, we want to win, blah, 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 in this meaningless game, in this meaningless sport, because it is all meaningless in the end. So we're attacking this person in a public forum. It's unacceptable, in my opinion. I really get fired up about it because no one else would do this or tolerate this in any other setting.
No, I agree.
So I don't want to hear. I really wish I could go on a public forum and just say to all the Oklahoma City fans, stop it. I remember one time in San Antonio, the fans were doing something and Greg Popovich got on the mic. He went over and got the mic, and he, scolded the fans they're his children. Was it this season?
He did it this season.
I love that. He was stop that right now.
Do that in
That's building. Exactly right. I wish that somebody, that Mark Dagnall, I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Close.
They'd gone over and got the mic and be like, we're not going to do that. Stop. Everybody stop for a second. Fans, we're not going to do that. That's below us.
The only coach probably in the league of 30 teams would be Greg getting after his fans because they'd see him probably like a grandfather.
And guess what? I bet they didn't do it again.
Oh, I know they didn't.
They got scolded. Rightly so. He's like, you're behaving like children, and we're not going to do that. And he was the right person to say that.
Yeah, any other coach.
Because he was the dad.
Drowned him out.
They probably would have. But I know no one else has the stones to do that, so I get it. But anyway, I wish that there was someone, or even now, to say, or maybe in the next home game tomorrow night, somebody to come on in front and say, listen, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. Okay. Hey, how about
story? Can I tell you a story?
Hang on. What's the – Sam Presti.
Yo, Sam.
He could come out and say, fans, your support is fantastic. I love you. But we're not going to do that. Can I – please,
you know who don't do that. You know who could?
Who?
The one person in the building who's the most important person probably in the building besides Sam Presti.
SGA.
Who never complains about a call.
He doesn't.
Who is SGA for the listeners who don't know basketball?
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Gilgeous.
I don't know how to pronounce his name either. That's why SGA is so great.
Yeah, it is.
He's fantastic all the way around,
he
isn't
never,
he?
He never complains.
He also doesn't like showboat and do a bunch of other stuff. Like, you hit that game winner and you see his face on the camera, he kind of turns around, he's just like, this is what I'm paid millions of dollars to do. This is what I do.
So not only that, the culture of SGA, you don't see a lot of players whining to the referees on our team.
Yeah.
I don't know if that comes from Shai, from Sam, or from Coach Mark.
Okay.
But culturally,
yes,
our team is similar to my friend Shane C.
Shout out.
Team Edmund Memorial High School
Basketball.
He tells his players, when he has orientation, we are not playing against the referees. And if you watch a high school basketball game at Edmund Memorial, the other coach, the other players, and other fans are oftentimes getting after the refs.
Yeah.
And Shane's just set a culture that he's not going to let it happen.
That's fantastic.
It is awesome.
That's really great. I love it.
I got to tell you one of my favorite stories about a coach and a microphone of referees.
Feels like the start of a joke.
Are you familiar?
I'm in on this.
Are you familiar with the Oklahoma Sooner former basketball coach named Billy Tubbs?
I know who he is. I guess I might be able to pick him out of a lineup. He's black and kind of heavy set.
No, he's a white guy.
But I have no idea.
Okay. He was the coach back when the Sooners were making some of their Final Four runs, when they had some of their better players. I think, let's say, Wayman Tisdale.
Okay.
Others.
I know who he is. He's black.
Back in the 80s.
He played for Phoenix.
Wayman Tisdale, yes.
I know players. I don't know coaches. I don't pay attention because I think coaches are meaningless. But anyway.
So Tubbs, the fans at OU had gotten really upset over the calls that were happening.
Okay.
And it was getting pretty bad.
Okay. Tense.
Yes, tense for sure. I don't know if things were being thrown on the court or not, but it was definitely becoming very inappropriate. So he went over to the microphone PA system. And he said, fans, you have to stop this. I don't care how bad the officiating is. You cannot do this. And he immediately got teed up by the referee because of the way he publicly shamed the refs and yelled at them into the old microphone. It is a hilarious moment
in
referee stories.
It's pretty funny.
It's great.
Hey, and Mark Daigneault.
Yeah.
Daigneault,
yeah.
He too. I watch him, and he's very even keel. He does not. He'll go over the refs, and he's a lot of times it's like a confusion face, like
squinting.
I don't understand.
Yes, he's
but he did that. But I don't. Can you explain that to me? Versus just you're stupid, and you're yelling and pointing at them or whatever, like most coaches do. I like that about him.
I do.
Okay, it's part of that culture. And our players.
You want our fans to match the culture of the team.
I do. Now I do understand. Once again, like a mob mentality. You get in the game. It's tense. People do things outside of their character. I have a really good story of a good friend of mine, really good friend of mine. He was at a Thunder game, and he got caught up in a moment, and he did something very, very, very uncharacteristic of who he is.
What did he do?
I feel like, to this day, I feel like he's kind of ashamed of it.
Yeah.
But he wasn't himself at the time. It was temporary insanity.
Oh,
right,
man. Yeah,
temporary
I can
insanity.
See how someone would be ashamed if there was a moment in their life that was against and even almost opposite of what their character usually is.
100%.
So the mob mentality.
I think it even surprised this person. Like, I don't know why I did it. I didn't even know I was capable of doing it, but I don't deny the fact that I did it. You know what I'm saying? Right?
Yeah, I would sense that.
Anywho. All right, but listen, you want for the good news?
Yeah, I do.
I've run the fans down, and I think we're one of the only ones still doing the shirt thing. We pull it off well, but I didn't see any other teams. Were other teams doing it in the first round of the playoffs?
I don't know, but we must like, be the only arena that actually wears the shirt.
We are the only one that wears them. Yeah. But the other arena's like, we're stop wasting money on these shirts because these people have money, so they're not going to care about our $2 shirt or whatever. Anyway, so I have a fix.
Okay.
And you're not going to like it. People aren't going to like it, and they're going to think it's stupid, and they're going to dismiss it. But I hope that it plants a seed that grows, and someday it comes to fruition. We do things out of tradition. Like once upon a time, we needed to do something, and we just continue doing it, even when technology makes it obsolete. A lot of times we just continue doing it the way we're doing it because that's tradition, right?
Yes, for okay. sure. I'm looking forward to some examples.
Okay. But so many. But here's the specific example. I'll give you a really good one. Baseball. You ever watch baseball?
No.
Okay. It's okay. I'll explain to you.
In October and September,
it's
October.
Fine. It's fine. Baseball has so much technology and so many different cameras and laser that they can determine whether or not a ball is in the strike zone. They don't need an umpire to call that.
I guess they don't, yeah.
They don't, I'm telling you, right? Like Major League Baseball, they have equipment that's set up, and they can tell you exactly if the ball was in or not.
Yes.
And they'll do it on TV. They'll show you. But it doesn't – they don't call balls and strikes based on that, but they have it. They have it. But ultimately, the umpire, the umpire behind the plate, who is obsolete now, but we still have him, he is in charge of calling balls and strikes, okay?
Yeah.
Now – They've toyed with this in the minor leagues of like just forgetting the umpire and just letting that machine call. It would just be like a red light or green light of a strike or ball, right? Like you wouldn't even have to think about it. You don't have to argue with anyone. It is what it is. Right? In tennis, they have lines, people.
Yes.
But we have these electronic devices that tell. Have you ever seen it when?
Yeah.
And then someone you have to go over and challenge. Like the player has to go over and challenge. And then they'll replay it, and then they'll see whether it was in or out.
Yeah.
Definitively. Like by millimeters. The video will tell them if it's in or out.
Sony's Hawkeye.
It's fantastic. Yeah. I think it's fantastic. But we could just let the Hawkeye do all the work, and we don't even need linesmen. We don't need them, but we do it out of tradition.
Yes. Keep going, but I have
okay.
some thoughts.
Okay.
I want you to keep rolling.
Now, tennis, oddly enough, though, Ken, this is for you too, because he's going to tell me. At lower level tennis matches, uh-huh. but competitive,
uh-huh.
they self-officiate. Yeah. They do, and it works out. It works out. Now, occasionally it won't, and what will happen is at one of these tournaments, like even in high school, these high school, big-time high school tournaments,
because
I've gone and watched his sons, Ian and Carson.
Shout out.
Both played, and I went and watched matches at times.
Yeah.
And what would happen is if they couldn't come into agreement,
mm-hmm.
then the player that feels like they are offended, they could go and get an official who didn't see it, of course, but they could come, and then the official would start watching that match from that point
sort
forward.
Sort of felt like, hey, this guy's ripped me off.
That's right. He's got two calls that were way out, but he called them in, and I don't believe him, so I need you to start watching it, and you call it yourself. You can do that. You have the right to do that.
That's great.
But for the most part, 99% plus of the time, The players just call it themselves. Have you ever played pickup basketball?
Yes.
I have too. I play every other Friday. It's great. Do you have referees there at your play?
No.
You don't. What happens? You play by the rules, I assume.
Yeah, you most people in a situation like that would trust for players to call a foul when they commit a foul.
That's exactly right. You self-officiate.
Yes.
Okay, the players do. I too, same thing. So the group that I play with, a lot of good guys, you know, and if you're the type that are going to argue about the calls, I'm like, you're not going to play with this group.
Not going to get the invite.
You don't question it. You're just like, this person doesn't lie. They've earned our respect and the benefit of the doubt, and whatever they say goes. And I don't care what my eyes thought they saw. If he says the other way, I'm like, you're right. And if you get fouled, you call your own fouls. Usually the person that fouls typically calls it. Now, the other person that was fouled can call it, but that's usually, you shouldn't do that, because then the other guy's like, I fouled you, but I didn't call it.
A little bit of etiquette.
That's right. I'll do it occasionally. Like, if a guy keeps fouling me over and over, I'll be like, foul. You know, And 99% of the time, they won't argue, but they're like, all right, whatever, you know, and then you'll take, but we don't shoot. It's just like, take the ball out. You're not shooting free throws or anything. So yeah, anyway, so we self-officiate and it works.
Yeah.
Okay. Tennis, they self-officiate, even some of these big tournaments. And for the most part, it works. Do you know a sport that even at the highest levels, they self-officiate? And they pride themselves on self-officiating.
Yes.
Do you know it?
It's the game of golf.
That's true. Okay. That's true, but it's not.
You have people prided themselves on calling penalties on themselves so no one else would have seen it.
There's
a deep level of honesty that goes into that game.
Okay. More of a team sport, an actual team sport that I'm referring to.
Team sport that calls their own fouls.
Yes.
At the highest levels. I do not know.
Okay. I'm going to enlighten you.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with Ultimate Frisbee?
I have played the game.
Okay.
But I'm not a great Frisbee thrower.
Okay.
And so I've played it maybe twice in college.
Okay.
So but
I know the game.
Yes.
It's like football, but with a Frisbee.
Yes. And once you catch the Frisbee, you cannot. You have to throw it.
That's correct.
You cannot move.
You get like two steps or something like that. Yeah. You get a little bit of leeway, but then you stop. And then,
I
just watched some too. They were pretty awesome.
Yeah.
It's an awesome sport.
I was gonna say, Ultimate Frisbee highlights. I just said that into my phone, so now that the algorithm will put some videos on my phone.
Nice.
Ultimate Frisbee highlights.
I would like to watch some Ultimate Frisbee highlights later.
Oh, I wonder if people right now, because we're saying Ultimate Frisbee highlights, people will say, you won't believe, but I got on whatever.
Yeah.
And then they showed it because of this moment.
Hey, Siri, show me some Ultimate Frisbee highlights. Oh, she's actually opening up.
Okay. They call.
But I want to read you something. I got, this is.
Look at the production here.
I know.
This is so great. Preparation. Love it.
I kind of knew this beforehand, but I didn't know exactly what. This is like a, like the official stance of the Ultimate Frisbee, like
Federation.
Yeah, Federation, whatever you want to say. Ultimate, and oftentimes they call the sport Ultimate, not Ultimate Frisbee. They just drop the Frisbee. They just call it Ultimate.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Ultimate relies upon a spirit of sportsmanship that places the responsibility for fair play on the player. Okay? This next part is the best part. Highly competitive play is encouraged, but never at the expense of mutual respect among competitors, adherence to the agreed upon rules, or the basic joy of play. Doesn't that sound fantastic?
Yes.
Ultimate Frisbee really does. They kind of pride themselves on, we're sportsmen. We have good sportsmanship. We're not out to cutthroat. We're not going to win at any expense. We're going to win. This is the dirt, guys. Hang on, I gotta answer it.
Okay, you know, I'll take over for a little bit while you.
Hello.
So Shane's getting his sand and dirt for his yard in his new home right now. He's taking a phone call. He's making sure that he gets that dirt delivered. So I am going to talk a little bit about refereeing. I grew up in a home with a teacher, and married to a physician.
Okay.
And I'm a pastor, so I've said on the podcast before, I trust those people.
I won't
in,
be there yet. I'll be there in probably 30 minutes.
Moments
or so, but you can
where
just, it's
they
all
have
go in the
rule
front
of law,
yard,
I'm going to sort
of the
trust them. So at times when I go to a high school basketball game,
that's
I don't
fine.
Like
Come
sitting with the
there.
Team that I'm rooting
okay,
for. I like sitting on the opposite side because I don't want to be part
Perfect,
of the mob
I'll answer that.
To be
Thank
able
you.
To have yeah. be caught up in the mob where people are yelling and screaming. I hate the mob mentality, especially where my child goes to a school that's called a Christian school, and when the mob starts yelling at referees because of a terrible call, I'm always so ashamed. So often I don't sit with the home crowd. I sit away from them because I get so ashamed of how they're acting.
Wow.
Because I want the athletic director, and he has, who's also the head coach of the high school men's basketball team, he will, when it gets kind of tense, oftentimes when they're playing another Christian school, perhaps a rival, he has turned to the crowd while he's coaching the game, and he has like given them a finger wag and said, "You stop that right now."
Nice.
And I love when he does that because he's shaming all these parents and fans for acting inappropriately. Because as Shane has said, and maybe the title of this podcast will be around this way as we move back to Ultimate Frisbee.
Yes.
There are moments when And you're getting to the moment of ultimate frisbee. Then you're going to have a closing move, which is going to be your solution to the thunder referring.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So as we move away from the dirt and sand towards this moment, we can move you back. But I will say, I have had people not appreciate my stance at home games because I try to best I can understand that these referees are doing the very best they can. And people close to my relationship who enjoy yelling at referees it's an interesting concept because I think, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And I have one friend in particular, Jeremy L.
Shout out.
Who has talked to his son about when the game is over, you never complain about the results of the game and that you can never blame anything on a referee's call. Not in this house.
Yep.
Are we going to say we would have won if there wouldn't have been that holding call or that offensive foul call? He's like, no. They're doing the best they can.
That's right.
And so an ultimate frisbee, they call fouls on themselves. And so I'm looking forward to how you're going to move this to the Thunder.
I love that. You know what I tell my boys is, do you know why that's a foul? I'm asking you this question. Do you know why that's a foul?
Like, that's because
the ref called it a foul.
Oh, whoa. Yeah.
Whether it met the definition of foul or not, the actual act is irrelevant.
Don't you hate
it? It's irrelevant because guess what? It's never overturned. It's never changed.
So
character is revealed in losing. I frequently say that, and it is. And when you're losing and you're losing your mind and you're like that Thunder crowd and you're starting to lose when you shouldn't lose and you're losing your mind, that's when character is revealed. Now, people will say, oh, that's not who I am. You know, like this one friend of mine who acted like a buffoon in this one time at a Thunder game. He would say, that's not who I am. And I'd say, I agree with that. I agree with that. But there's something in you that you got to kind of check. And there's something in all of us. I'm like, you've got to check. Because when you're hit with those moments, that's when your real character is starting to be revealed. And you got to deep dive on that.
Yeah, I love it.
You know?
Yes.
And I wonder. I'm a pretty good loser. I'll admit that. I'm a tremendous loser.
Hey,
I really am. I'm like, good game.
Can somebody,
you crushed me. Congrats.
Can somebody who's good at the internet take that snippet right there with Shane saying, I'm a pretty good loser, and just I like it as my ringtone.
You're welcome. I'm going to call you just so you can hear that. All right. Here's my solution.
I can't wait. You let me
know. Siri's already. Stop.
It's crispy.
Now, the downside is this: is I'm out. I'm kind of getting rid of an employment because I'm getting rid of the refs.
You are getting rid of NBA referees.
That's right, in almost all sports, really. Okay, here's my solution. It's very simple.
Okay,
get rid of the refs. We don't need them.
Okay.
The players will self-officiate.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Because and guess what we're going to do as a league? Every single game is recorded, video recorded, from 50 different angles, every single game. It's NBA. They got billions of dollars. Billions, with a B.
We talked about that 2 weeks ago.
$10 billion.
Yeah.
They got plenty of money, okay? And with the money that you're saving from not having the refs, because they make multiple hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's probably like...
up to $250,000.
I don't know. Like $1 million a year. Okay, maybe, because you got three of them out there, so maybe $750,000 or, you know, at least $500,000 a year that you're saving on this.
Referee pool's got
per game, per like referee pool, all right? So with that money, here's what you're going to do. You already got your little command center. You know, you see that command center when they do instant replay in the challenge?
Yeah, in New Jersey, yeah, I think.
Same thing, you got that here. So here's what you do. It's very simple. You tell the players you're going to self-officiate, but guess what?
What team?
We are going to go second by second through every single game right after the game because we've got the tape. It's not tape, but that's what we call it. And if we find that you called a play, you called a foul when it wasn't a foul, if we have sufficient video evidence proof to do that, you're going to be penalized. I'm talking suspension. Serious. In first, second, you know, and it's going to escalate to the point that you're just going to be gone if you keep doing it. So, where it's the carrot and the stick, right? So we're using a stick in this example to say, I want you to self-officiate, but I'm going to use the stick. And because guess what? If you go out when I play pickup basketball, I know every single time whether I fouled someone or not. There's no guesswork in it.
You do.
I know.
You don't believe that there's a certain sense of lack of self-awareness that somebody...
There's a little bit, but these guys at that level, no, they know what's up.
There'll be somebody who doesn't believe they fouled so much that they're going to ask their coach, review that.
I know
and
that.
And the coach looks at them like, you dummy.
Yeah.
You fouled them.
Yeah.
I'm not going to review that.
Yeah. I do understand that. And here's... There's a little problem with my solution, and once again, it was in the game last night. Mm-hmm. I was watching the Lakers and the Denver Nuggets. That was by far the most exciting game of the playoffs.
Game two.
By far the most exciting finish in playoff history. One of, you know, it's up there. I mean, it was so fantastic. It's a buzzer beater. Literally, the buzzer's going off and the ball is still in the air. Jamal Murray had a terrible game, but he still gets the ball, and he still hits a fantastic fadeaway jump shot over 7'8" Anthony Davis. He's not quite that tall, but he's over 7 feet.
Yep.
With his wingspan and all. It's incredible. He's falling down. And then, so in that game, there was a moment shortly before that where it was Murray again. He was driving to the basket, and LeBron James was covering him. And LeBron kind of cut his path off, and he was kind of going parallel to him. And there was physical contact there, but it wasn't egregious by any means. And then Jamal kind of had to shoot this tough shot, kind of fade away, and LeBron went up to try to block it, but he didn't because the shot missed pretty bad. They called the foul, and LeBron is upset, and he has a right to be upset.
Very upset.
Did you see the call?
Yes.
Okay, because in the announcers dead on, they're like, LeBron would go over and be like, bro. I'm not saying that wasn't a foul because it met the spirit. It met the law of the letter in that it was a foul. Like, there was physical contact in there. But it was very minor. Didn't affect his shot. And you do not call it. In the last few seconds of a playoff game, you don't call that type of call. And most refs, and this is true, most refs know that. And they don't. And you see a lot more go in the last few minutes of a play, of a playoff game, correct?
I think referees end up swallowing their whistle.
They do.
In
they
the
do.
Last minute or so.
Yep.
Like, and I know this is going to be not as timely because people might listen to this later. But last night, the first half of that doubleheader was the end of the Knicks-Philly game.
Yes.
And there was some referees that did not make calls
in
the last 15 seconds.
Yeah.
And people were like, what are they doing?
That is where it gets really difficult because if I have my players calling it on themselves, but yet there are times when you shouldn't call certain fouls, right? That's the really difficult part because otherwise, during the regular season, this is going to work. This model is going to work because players are going to be penalized enough and they know when something happens. And guess what? It's going to change their attitude too. It's going to change their attitude as well because they know if I call something and I'm not right, then I'm going to get penalized and I might get suspended and it might get multiple games or I might get fined or whatever the case is. Because right now they complain about every single call, every time certain players, and when I say certain players, I mean like the majority of the league, they complain about it. And so I don't know. I don't know. It's very frustrating to see that, and it's getting worse and worse. And then the refs, you suck, and everything else. And I think we don't have to do this. We can let them self-officiate. Or we can go to, we have the technology to build him. We have the technology to do like a video real-time officiating and just let the video speak for itself. And I think we can get to the point where we can call that stuff fast enough. And like, bam, and then it's like foul, you know, and it's like a machine that's doing it. So you can't argue that you know, and you can really dial it into exactly what you want to be called a foul and whatnot. And we're getting there, but the purists will always say, no, forget that. It needs to be humans because humans understand the nuances and the times to swallow the whistle and that. And I would say, well, the people. The fans, they're saying refs, you suck, because they don't believe the call was right, and they hardly ever believe that the call is right, because if it's against their team, then it's the wrong call. So I think if you take that piece out, the human element out of it, I think it could be better for the game. I personally like to see it. I don't think it's going to happen in my lifetime, but there you go. You're welcome, NBA. That's my solution. And you can try it. You can try this at lower levels. That's what they typically do. Sports.
Yes.
Try it at lower levels and see what happens.
Maybe an all-star game where there's so little defense that there's so few fouls.
An all-star game doesn't matter. It's a meaningless game, and they don't really care who wins and loses, so they're going to be like, oh, sure, it was a foul. Yeah, why not? You know?
No. I like the spirit behind this. I don't think your okay. I don't think your job's good. I don't think it's going to work. But I do.
You don't think it's going to work?
No, I don't.
Okay.
But I do like the ideas that you presented behind this podcast, and I'm okay. grateful that I get to be your co-host for this temporarily
Thanks.
Permanent situation.
Thanks. Thanks. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, if you go to more Thunder games, you go on Wednesday night?
Yeah.
Will you tell the fans not to do that?
Yeah.
At least the ones in your section.
Yeah.
So everybody can have your attention. Maybe, everybody maybe in 108.
Maybe a big sign.
His section is going to start with a 1. Everybody in 115 or 106. We're going to, can I get your commitment that we're not going to do the refs you suck chant? Can I get your commitment now?
Should I bring little 3x5 cards and pass it out or like a big sign?
Mm.
Like refs don't suck.
I think
suck,
a big sign
refs
is.
Refs don't suck.
You're going to get on TV with that sign. You're going to get on TV. Something like that. Refs don't suck. Or just refs are people too. You're going to get on TV with that. Especially, what is it, TNT? You're going to have to figure out something with the acronym of TNT.
Mm, I think on Wednesday night it'll be an ESPN broadcast, but I don't know.
That's going to be more difficult.
Well, I don't know, because I think that the Western Conference is TNT and the Eastern Conference is ESPN, but I'm not positive.
I don't know for sure. I know I've been watching it on TNT. Yeah. Like last night, the Lakers game, mm-hmm. I watched that on TNT, mm-hmm. or True TV. But if you could work something out with TNT that speaks to refs or people too, something to that degree, I'm 100% guaranteeing you're going to get on television.
Okay, we'll work on
and
it.
If you do, you got to wave and say, and mouth, hi, Shane.
Or, no, in Shane in the Membrane. Maybe, you know what I should. You know,
oh, do an in Shane in the Membrane, like promote
yeah.
the podcast on yeah. the bottom of it.
No, I got it. Here's my idea, and then we're over an hour, and you got to
be I know.
I'm going to wear multiple shirts to the game.
Okay.
And when you go, they're trying to force the crowd into putting on their T-shirts.
That's right.
Right? So
that's right.
They want you to turn around and put on the Oklahoma City playoff T-shirt.
Like you have to put it on, like right there in front of them or something.
Well, yeah, because like so most people have the T-shirts on. They look in the crowd. Oh, that Jamoke over there is wearing his orange T-shirt. We gotta get him to get his white Thunder shirt on. So I'm gonna go.
They'll come over and ask the person.
Show you on a jumbotron.
Oh, like they try to shame you publicly, shame you to incur. Okay,
and
got
then
it.
Everyone boos.
Oh, got it.
And then they cheer when you put the T-shirt on.
Okay, I understand.
So I'm gonna wear multiple shirts.
Okay.
And the first one's gonna say refs, and the next one I'm gonna take it off. I'm pretending that I'm going to put my OKC Thunder shirt on. Then I'm going to say, don't suck. And like, and then it'll be like, and the next one will be, in Shane in the Membrane. And then I'll put my Thunder T-shirt on. This is going to work, Shane.
I think it's too much time.
No.
They don't have that kind of time.
No. It's not TNT. It'll be in the broadcast. It'll be in the feed of the
SBA. I got to take this call. Okay. I got to take this call.
And you should say until next time we should get out of here.
All right. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to In Shane in the Membrane.
In Shane in the Membrane.
With your host, Shane Thompson. Don't forget to subscribe, and we'll see you next time on In Shane in the Membrane.
In Shane in the Membrane.